So Sophie and Marina, for the last Northeast Focusing Conference, you did sculpture, and we're talking today about your process, your art, and focusing. But maybe it might make sense to describe a bit of what that sculpture was.
Yes. So we use recycled CD and we glue them in a heart shape. The size of the sculpture is about 40 by 48. The first sculpture we did, 40 by 48 inches,
inches.
I wish it would be that big. But that's the intention behind it, that it reach big. Anyhow, it's only 40 by 48 inches. And, in a CD, right, there is a reflecting side. So we left that side clear for people to respond to the sculpture. And the other side, we made a mixed media composition of nature elements like moss and branches and leaves and flowers and seeds with acrylic paint. We made two hearts. So one heart was with encaustic paint and nature element, and the second heart was with acrylic paint and nature elements. And so, and the sculpture is called When Our Hearts Remember, and the invitation was, or is, because we still, the heart travels, what makes your heart sing? And then people will be invited to, at the focusing conference, people know how to go inside and listen and get a body sense of what makes my heart sing in this moment. And they will be invited to write it on the clear CD. This sculpture was first exhibited in a park in Brookline, Massachusetts, and it was part of an exhibition called Visible and Invisible.
No, Seen, Not Seen.
Oh, thank you.
It was called Seen, Not Seen.
Seen and Not Seen, and it was part of a 21 other sculptures that are where very care, there is a term, but
it's like sight responsive.
Yes, sight responsive. Thank you, Marina.
The artists were really invited to take care of the environment. Sorry, I jumped in. We don't want to take care of the trees where the installations were, so that we were not, hammering on trees and hurting the environment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So originally, the first sculpture that we did was for this open studio opportunity. And actually, it was a year ago.
Exactly a year ago.
And the second heart heart we built was the one installed in the conference. But the first heart then traveled to different places. We had installed it also in a community garden in Chelsea, here in Boston. And then it also went to a celebration of a graduation of a colleague of ours. And we're hoping it will continue to travel. So if people are interested in having us install the heart for a heartfelt opportunity, we are very happy to do that. If it's not very far away from where we are right now, Susan's. So the process was a delightful process.
Before you go there, there's something very nice and very about that sense of have heart will travel.
Yeah, it's a traveling heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would travel to you if you wanted.
we both, maybe you hear from the accents, we both have our own traveling hearts. I'm originally from Argentina and Sophie's from France. So, we are traveling
souls.
Traveling souls, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to add is a little detail that the markers that people were using to write on the heart were hanged from some guitar strings. And that was a little detail. It was not just a regular string, but they were guitar strings. And the idea is to keep playing with this metaphor of what makes your heart sing and how music adds so much to life.
Yes. And one of the inspiration for this sculpture was a message that I heard from my grandmother when I was grieving. And the message I heard was, what makes your heart sing? It was, remember, Sophie, life is music. Life is like music. So we really wanted to reflect that, not only with the recycled CD, right, that have all sorts of sounds and music and other things, but also with other recycled material like old guitar strings. My husband is a musician, so we were using some of, you know, his old guitar strings. And maybe you want to say something about that paradox that we were working with too, which was part of the inspiration as well.
Right. We were discussing how there's so much paradox in life, right? Life and death. And in our sculpture, there's the paradox of using man-made material and nature together, right? And so the hope was that that tension created some delight in the viewers by making it visible that we can use, you know, most people are not listening to CDs right now. That's sort of like old technology, that the old and the new and fresh, the creative piece that we added can come together to make something fresh.
And, you know, like, and paradoxes really make life interesting, right? Or can make a point that we're trying to make interesting when we bring the paradox in what we're talking about. So here we were working with, okay, how do we integrate how do we integrate man-made material that do not fit or it doesn't seem like it fit with natural material? How do we work with those two? Because one of our thought was like, okay, what is the world that we're living after us? And to our children, our grandchildren, and how important it is to think long term and to think, okay, our action right now, in the present moment, are going to impact the future. And so how do we use technology? How do we integrate technology? How do we transform technology so that it can be recycled?
So I want to just maybe jump on this as you're describing your creative process and you're describing the question that comes. And so, as if you remember, as you were thinking about this, what did it feel like? What the felt sense was as you were, you know, in a way, even before creating, but trying to get to the idea of the project and asking and exploring these questions?
Yes, great question. We were very playful. That was a big core feeling, and spirited, you know, it started with our heart connection together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were very excited to be part of this first exhibit, and we had no idea what we're gonna do. And we started with something that ended up like a very different sculpture. So it was play, being with our spirited heart, taking care of nature and honoring nature as our home and a place where we get nurtured by nature, and we want to nurture it back. It has a soul too.
And so, do you remember the moment when the idea came about to do a heart, or the moment when the idea came about to use CDs, or, you know, just, you know, a sense of, you know, do you have a sense of step by step, you know, how it came up and what it was like to come up with that?
Yeah, initially there were some things that were clear and some things that kind of emerged from working together and with openness and playfulness. The initial idea that was clear was that we wanted it to be an installation that was collaborative. We had that clarity. And the idea that we wanted to use nature, because in both our individual arts, we tend to do that. And so when we create together, that's an element that naturally is there, nature. And then the recycling also came, just kind of what can we use that we don't have to go buy? What can we, so we posted, kind of a request to people in our community who had CDs that they wanted to get rid of. And we collected these CDs from people because we didn't have enough for the sculpture. So there was that collaborative piece just from the start of involving people getting rid of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't know it was going to be a heart. We were playing, we just knew those three things, the collaborative piece, the nature, and the recycling aspect. And so we started playing with it, and all of a sudden the idea of a heart came from just being with the material and being with each other and with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So it came from all that. And also, I think by getting in touch with our heart, and definitely there was that background for me of, you know, one being that had passed away. And I was really with that. And I was really with that heart space and that grieving heart. And in it's interesting because, again, maybe it was paradox. Here we made this kind of heart to engage people, to remember happy moment, to remember moments of joy and to be present to that, to make a mark, to put it out there, to share it with the world, and to water those seeds, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it personally, I was watering my seed of happiness at the time of grief.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was part of also why it became a heart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it started from the really strong intent to do a collaborative piece, and reflecting nature, and then came the idea of the material, you know, which were the CDs, and then in a way staying with the CDs and playing with them and listening to what was happening for you came the heart.
Yes, playing with the CDs and the paint,
mm-hmm.
and the creative process of making and undoing and trying and taking risk and all of that that goes into and following. You know, sometimes you work with a piece of a leaf, and then you add some paint, and then the leaf moves and it goes somewhere, and then it makes a shape, and then you see something, and then, you know,
very
creation
organic. Yeah.
So very, very interesting. And you describe it moment by moment. It's like the paint, the leaf, and then that sense of you do a little something, you observe it, and then it bleeds you someplace, and you do something else, and so you are, you know, professionally do art therapy. And so this is not a therapy process. It's a creative process, but there seem to be similarities between both.
Well, there's a therapeutic aspect to the creative process, and we both deeply believe in this.
Mm-hmm.
And in our work together, there was the art, but there was also the connection that we have as professionals, as friends, that was part of the healing process too. Not therapy, but still therapeutic and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we would be working on this, my heart was happy to be with Sophie, and the way we would work together is we would each work on a corner of the heart, and then we would say, let's switch. So it's not like she made half a heart and I made half a heart. The whole heart was made by both of us. We were working on each other's spaces and taking a step back and looking and then coming back.
Yes. And also sometimes we were even putting the heart up and kind of taking pictures. And then some, very spontaneously, some posture happened, like embracing the heart. Oh, I remember Marina laying her head down as she was holding the heart. So there were a lot of, wonderful heartfelt moments that happened during the process. And also some moments where we're like, oh, what are we going to do? You know,
but at some point the heart broke, you know, in one of, in one of the first installation, the heart broke and we had to go mend the heart. So that's also a metaphor that really speaks to, you know, us human beings. What do we do when our heart breaks? And how do we tend to it?
Exactly. And paying attention to the heart, you know, the heart that works 24/7, that sometimes we only pay attention to when it's not working right or it's in pain. And again, I think this installation is about, okay, let's bring attention to our heart, to a skillful, open heart that can help grow compassion and more joy and more connection in the world.
Yes. And so, you know, as we're talking, the thing that comes up a little bit for me is to understand better, you know, how you did it. And because in a way the word collaborative is, yeah, it's not just one person doing it, but it could mean so many different things. As you say, you could have each taken a part of half the heart, but you're giving some sense of, you know, the nitty gritty of it. And I'm very fascinated how you say one works in one corner, the other works in the other corner, and then you shift, or you look at the heart as a whole. Or you're coming up with some postures about it. So there's a sense of there is literally a collaborative process and interaction between the two of you as this is being completed.
Yes, and an interaction with the environment. Mm-hmm. Because the heart, this heart installation is an outdoor installation. So each it's installed in different environment, and each environment we have to interact with the environment. How do we install this heart? How do we hang it? How does it work in a forest near the sea at the focusing oriented conference? It was, you know, with the sea in the background, in the Chelsea Art Walk event, it was in a community garden and there were no trees. So we had to figure out how are we going to hang it and how, you know, putting those poles in the ground.
And because we also were very present with the process of the heart, we realized that, oh, people can write in the heart, but also how are we going to reuse this heart? We erased messages with alcohol. We realized that we could erase the messages to reuse on the back of the, to reuse it, right? Some of those messages that people wrote, we wanted to share with you. Mm-hmm. Some were listening with the ears of my heart.
Open to surprise.
The heart and soul of children.
Bach Cantata Chorale number 8.
And beyond the sea.
Lights dancing on the sea.
Being right here now.
Loving the joyous giggles of the girls.
So these were all messages that people had to pause, take a moment to really tune in with their own hearts. What is it that makes their heart flutter in happiness?
So in that sense, in a way, the installation, the sculpture as an installation, is an invitation for people to pause and reflect and express themselves.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and also I think that and to realize that they're part of a bigger system, right? That their writing is next to somebody else's writing, and their writing is part of one side of the heart, of the other side is nature and how we're caring for it.
Yes, and how we impact each other, even with the smallest little thing. Like if I write, you know, my grandmother makes my heart sing, and somebody writes, you know, skating. You see that when you write right there. And you are impacted by what's next to you, or what the smallest action that you have and how that impacts the person next to you.
So you leave traces that,
You leave traces, you engage yourself, and it impacts the what's next. Mm-hmm. It ripples.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the idea that people have to really step closer to their heart to write, right? Mm-hmm. It's, I think, hopefully an invitation for people to really not just do that in the sculpture, but connect with what's true to them.
Yeah, yeah. So you're talking about something, the heart is 4 feet big. So in a way, to see it as a heart, you have to have a certain distance from it. And actually, if you want to write, then you have to shift. And what you see is only the part where you write and a few messages around it. And so there's a difference in perspective.
Exactly. Would you like to share your experience of the heart? Because you were there. You were there.
Yeah. Okay. So, for me, as I knew there was an installation, but I didn't know exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. And, it was this gorgeous grounds of that place, the center where we were on a beautiful, beautiful early fall day, very sunny, you know, trees and grass and the ocean in the background or the sound. And as I'm walking toward that place, I see this big heart and legs under it. And now the heart is 4 feet. But so it's about, you know, if you put the human-sized legs, it kind of feels right for it. And so I thought that the legs were part of the installation. Actually what I was looking at is somebody who was writing on the back of the heart. And so in a way, as I perceived it, you know, the person being in the process of interacting with the art was part of the art. Because it had, you know, it had given the heart its legs.
That's wonderful. We have actually, it's interesting that you say that, we have one photograph from the first installation of the heart with two people riding on the heart, and we only see the legs and a little bit of the waist. And it's really interesting picture. So I can really picture your view of, oh, what's that? Except that you didn't know what was the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the installation of that. That's wonderful. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Anything else we want to say?
I want to say what's in my heart right now, which is I'm feeling very grateful to be able to share our process with you, with the world, and also feeling grateful for my collaboration with Sophie. Mm-hmm. It's always surprising for me to learn and relearn how when you create with others, you can create something that's much more impactful and colorful than when you're creating on your own. So the co-creative aspect for me has a big value.
Beautiful.
I want to thank you for
thank
that
you.
Opportunity, Sophie.
Thank you. Well, I'm very grateful too, and I I'm left with a very thankful heart for all this experience, for your connection, my connection with you, for your time and effort in making this happen, and for all the people who wrote those wonderful messages on the heart or sent us some wonderful emails about the heart and the traveling heart. And it's like the hopeful, higher human spirit that's out there that we tap into, and it's so nice to hear more of that.
And so maybe then that there is an inspiration in that, that, you know, as you, the two of you experience the joy of creating together and of, you know, having that sense of people collaborate in the piece by participating in it, there's an invitation maybe for people to, you know, maybe break out of, you know, the isolation and try to create something together with people. That sense of that there is a joy in that interaction and that creative interaction that maybe we want to invite everybody to find a way to step into.
Yes, that's wonderful. And really making art helps us connect to ourselves, to others, and to the world, and to really create meaning and understanding of sometimes things that are difficult to be with or understand. So that's a wonderful invitation that you are voicing right now. Yes, let's all make art.
Thanks.
Thanks. Thank you, Serge.
Bye.
Thank you.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.